I'm Frank Vaughn. It's July 8th, 2026. Wasn't expecting to be back here today, but I find myself with a moment before my wife departs. I really need to speak to a few things that are happening in the world today. I mean, it's just one bad item after another since I woke up this morning. And I'm going to begin with an anecdote, actually, with Elton John, of all things. I'm not an Elton John fan, but days ago, I don't know if any of you have this problem, but I always have music playing in my head. And it's usually the same song, and it just over and over and over again. And if I'm not actively thinking or talking or reading a book or doing something, it just sort of fades back in and occupies. Like, I have a stream of thought alongside it, but the music is there. And then when I do something, it fades out, and then it fades back in. And this goes on for a while until it's replaced with another soundtrack. Now, out of nowhere, the other day, the Elton John song, Yellow Brick Road, just started playing in my head out of nowhere. And I hadn't even heard it, so I don't know where it came from. And like I said, I've never been an Elton John fan, but the chorus started playing over and over in my head. And it went on for a few days, and I actually told my cousin about it, and he was kind of laughing at me because Elton John's kind of a meme between the two of us going back 40 years. At any rate, that led me to actually listen to the song. Because that's often what I have to do to start the process of getting a song out of my head that I don't want there, depending on the situation. I have to actually listen to it. And then I read the lyrics. And that's when I realized that I may have found one Elton John song that's actually, to my ears and to my thinking, quite beautiful. It's quite a good song, dare I say it. It actually caused me to try to listen to another Elton John song, and I realized, nope, in general, I still just don't like Elton John. But I read the lyrics, and I listened to the song, and I thought about it, and here's this beautiful song. And the yellow brick road is fame and fortune, glitz and glamour, and part of the theme is just being a poor, penniless person going to Hollywood and attaching yourself to one of the rich elites that run Hollywood. And them making use of you. And I mean, one of the lines in the song is, I'm not a present for your friends to open. There's a lot of meaning there. But the whole song is about leaving the yellow brick road, leaving the fame and leaving the fortune behind. One of the lines in the song is, goodbye, yellow brick road, where the dark hound, or where the dogs of society hound. You can't keep me in your penthouse. I'm going back to my plow. And that line, I'm going back to my plow, really resonated with me because farming's part of who I am, even though I don't do it anymore. And so I listen to the whole song, and I look at who wrote it, and I realize, here's this message of leaving fame and fortune behind, being delivered by a man who never left fame and fortune behind. He made fame and fortune his life. He made hedonism his life. And he did it singing about leaving it. And that's when I realized why the song was stuck in my head, because this entire bloody world of men and politics that we live in is nothing but fakery. It's all deception. It's all manipulation. When we use the word ceasefire, what we really mean is war. And boy, oh boy, it was just like a light bulb coming on in my head. So anyway, that's just an anecdote, but it brings me to today, and I'm sure everybody knows that where we are at right now, as of this hour, the Americans are bombing the Iranians again, and the Americans are talking tough and saying the Iranians keep violating the ceasefire, and they violate the MOU, and everybody's happy to ignore the fact that we can read. We can read. We can use our eyes, and we can read the MOU, and we can understand what J.D. Vance in particular, we're going to pick on him a little bit in this diatribe. We can understand by reading, if we decide to read, what exactly it was the Americans agreed to. Now, the MOU, people will say an MOU is non-binding. It's just a memorandum of understanding. But the entire understanding behind the memorandum of understanding is that the memorandum of understanding forms the basis upon which technical negotiations and details are to be ironed out. Really quite simple. And the Americans have been violating it since just after the ink was dry. And how they're doing that is by trying to use the Omani side of the strait to get around Iranian control, even though the Americans agreed in the MOU, if you read it, to give Iranians control of the flow through the strait. Now, the idea was we lift the blockade, the Iranians let the oil through, they agree to a 60-day pause in the implementation of some kind of strait fee, whatever you want to call it, an environmental fee, which the Iranians and the Omanis agreed to do together. They agreed to a 60-day hiatus to allow the world's oil flows to stabilize. And the Americans have been trying to bypass it ever since. Now, the Iranians have been shooting and disabling ships that try to bypass it. And the Americans are crying foul. This is the nature of conflict. The Iranians just refuse to back down. Why? Because as I've said since before this conflict began, and since the conflict began, nobody in the West seems to understand what the hell they're all about. It's not about support of the Iranian regime. It's not about the fact that, or it's not about that, I'm not about to convert to Shiite Islam. I'm not a fundamentalist. But I understand Iran. I understand because it's like, I've talked about this before, hearkening back to Vietnam. If we understood back then the Vietnamese perspective, the United States would have never been involved in Vietnam because to them it wasn't a Cold War, it was a war of independence. This battle with Iran is not about oil to them. It's an existential crisis. They know, and they have been, targeted from all sides for a long time. And that's their perspective. That's how they see it. They have every reason to believe that not only the Americans, but specifically the Israelis, are trying to kill them all. Because they are. They've been attacked twice under truce, whether you agree or not. It doesn't matter. This is their perspective. You're trying to understand things from their side. You're also, should be at least, trying to hold the United States, hold the Trump administration accountable for the things that they say. They keep lying to you. Week after week, month after month, they keep saying things that just simply aren't true. And whatever's left of MAGA, and there's quite a bit of it, just puts the blinders on, or the influencer class refuses to talk about how everything they say falls apart, everything they say proves not to be true. And the MOU is just the latest. Now, I just want to go through some tweets because whenever I talk about this, whenever I talk about the Israeli government, censorship inevitably follows. Nobody interacts. Not even the critics interact. Viewership goes down. I got 27,000 followers on Twitter. Barely any of them see anything. People claim they can't see my videos. I don't know how true it is. I don't even really care. I don't even really care because I'm just going to say what I'm going to say anyway. You can censor me out of existence. I don't even care. But back on June 28th, I said, we had a ceasefire, June 17th, 2026, to the ceasefire of April 8th, 2026. And now we have a ceasefire, June 28th, 2026, to the ceasefire of June 17th, 2026, which was the ceasefire to the ceasefire of April 8th, 2026. Nowhere is the word war. Everybody keeps talking about the ceasefire that's never functioned in the first place. And I said 14 hours ago, we're going to need another ceasefire to the ceasefire that was a ceasefire to the ceasefire. Because now we got to have a ceasefire to the current ceasefire in the form of bombing Iran again. Before Khomeini's even in the ground. The United States and Israel have done more to unite Iranian society, and all the denials of plastic face Loomer and the Zionist lobby of the union of the Iranians. It's like they deny that Iran is unified. They deny that the crowds turned out. They keep making allegations of AI and that it's all hyperinflated, even though we know it's not. These are the same people who told you the Iranian regime was on the verge of falling apart. Before I continue, let me make sure I'm even recording. I am. That's good. That's good. We haven't missed the first 9 minutes. They told you the Iranian regime was on the verge of falling apart. They just need a little push. And that little push came in the form of tens of billions of dollars of U.S. assets and bombs hitting 30-odd thousand targets. And the net result was the Iranians poured into the streets in multiple cities in support of their government. And I remember seeing video a while back of these showings of support in the streets. You got women in burqas, fully clad in black from head to toe, right beside women who are wearing makeup and have long flowing hair, all in support of the regime. This idea that they're all bag ladies, it's just not true. Easily dispelled. Watch some of the travel bloggers who have gone there, and you'll learn far more about Iranian society than you'll ever learn from listening to Donald Trump or the Democrats or anything in the mainstream media. It's a much more complex situation than the basic Islam's evil. They're all evil Muslims, even the kids. Like, I see people justifying it all the time. They're presented with all of these tens of thousands of dead children surrounding in all the nations around Israel. And the argument is all the children are being programmed in the schools, so they're all evil and legitimate military targets. Some of these people have children of their own. How soul dead and heartless do you have to be? At any rate, let's just dispense with this first. There are a lot of war shills. This is another tweet I made. It's a little bit separate. It's a bit of a segue, but we're going to do it anyway. There are a lot of war shills making fun of Russian oil selling for a discount as though that's a smart take and a European win. Ural oil, it's a separate commodity. It sells at a discount. It's all futures. It's all nonsense. The price of oil that Donald Trump cites is a paper artifact. The only price that matters is the price that goes into the price the refineries are paying or the price that it costs to get it from point A to point B. And it's far higher than the futures price that everybody else talks about. Like, this is what I mean. This is why I started with Elton John, because you're talking about a famous guy who made all his fortune singing about leaving fortune behind. It's the same thing. We talk about a futures price that's fake. It's not the real price. And the whole almost swore. The whole world moves on this futures price. Meanwhile, reality is right there underneath the surface, and you can look at it. You can look at tank bottom, strategic reserves. You can look at all the metrics. And people just want to talk about the fake price every single day. Even people in the alternative media who I know better and mean well fall victim to talking about the fake price of oil. I was just thinking of another thing, but we're going to get to it as I go through this. And I said, for a discount as though that's a smart take and a European win. And I said, imagine if Europe was smart enough just to buy the cheap oil. Imagine if Europe was smart enough to just buy cheap Russian energy like they were several years ago. Imagine how prosperous life would be for the average European if German industry hadn't destroyed itself. All of the buying cheap natural gas instead of buying expensive North American natural gas. I mean, good for the providers of energy that live in North America, but very bad for the Europeans. Imagine if they were smart enough to just buy the energy. You know, this relationship between Europe and the Russians has existed for centuries. The Russians have always had the resources that Europe does not have. And the Europeans have tried to take it by force multiple times. For all the talk of the imminent Russian invasion, Russia's going to take over Europe. They're just going to march in unprovoked, which is nonsense, a whole other layer of nonsense that we can go through. For all the talk of it, Russia's never invaded Europe. But Europe has invaded Russia a half dozen times over the course of a few hundred years. It's always the Russians getting invaded. And yet, once again, this myth dominates the public conversation of the impending Russian invasion. Is anything true? Do we base anything on truth and objective reality? Like, is it frustrating to anybody else? It keeps me awake every single night. I wake up early and I go to bed late. I am chronically sleep deprived because this stuff is always on my mind. And I'm always wondering, is there anything I can do about it? I don't think anybody that's telling the truth can ever get elected because the populace supports the myth. There's a whole other problem. I don't want to make this one too long. It's the last day before my wife heads out. Heading out while the world is blowing up. I live in a modern Western democracy. I live in a modern society. I live in a technologically marvelous time. I shouldn't have to worry like I am about the world falling apart over the next few weeks. Anyway. The tweet is, the MOU is over because Donald J. Bush, and I usually don't do the whole name change thing, but like, I think I know anyway that Donald hates the Bushes almost as much as Roger Stone does. I don't think there's any love lost with the Bushes. So I do this in the vaguest hope that somebody will see it and catch on to it and that some other influencer will just steal the idea and run with it. Somebody out there who's got a million or two followers, start calling him Donald J. Bush. Make it trend. Get it out there in front of the eyes of the world. It might piss him off enough that he changes his trajectory. The MOU is over because Donald J. Bush can't read the document his administration signed, and America's word in the world has never had less credibility as a result. When you attack people under a flag of truce and negotiation, your trust declines in the world. When you give people your word, and we're going to get to the other aspects of Trump's broken word that occurred today. There's been so many things. Every time I refresh my phone, because I admit, as much as I don't like being on my phone, and I'm seldom on my phone, I've been on it all day because I want to be around my family. But I'm also like, I'm flabbergasted at what's going on right now. America's word in the world has never had less credibility as a result. Nobody can trust anything that's said because it's snip, snap, snip, snap. The beginning of the week, it's war. The end of the week, it's peace. The beginning of the week, it's war. The end of the world's peace. It's like ceasefires or war over and over again. Ceasefires to ceasefires to ceasefires. And the only thing in common is there's never been a ceasefire. No one can believe a word they say nor rely on them for anything. Maybe Trump has no idea what he agreed, that he agreed to let Iran manage the strait, and that it is he who's been violating that clause the whole time. This is what it is. You see, I can read the MOU. I know what the Americans agreed to, and I know who drew first blood. I know who violated it first, because I can read what they signed. Maybe it's just a tantrum because Iran is demanding Donald J. Bush keep his word. Either way, it's just another chapter in the massive strategic failure. Double failure. You can always tell when I'm writing on my phone because there will always, no matter what I do, because I have autocorrect turned off because it frustrates me. This is why I never touch my phone, because it's I always make mistakes on my phone. And there's one, a double failure. Ah. It's just another chapter in the massive strategic failure that is Donald J. Bush's war. This, while U.S. oil reserves near tank bottom, just is what it is. They don't have the jet fuel, just is what it is. It's summer in the Persian Gulf, so it's going to be in. He floated today talking about taking Karg Island again. What are you going to do? You're going to send the Boxer in there? 40 degree high humidity heat on this little tiny island where it can just be bombarded by ballistic missiles and drones from Iran? Is that what you're going to do? It's a really bad time to be trying to conduct a war on mountainous Iran in the middle of the hottest part of the summer. This is why I said yesterday, I figure it'll just be tit for tat until the fall. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe they'll just decide to try and get at it, even though they've sent some of their strategic forces home. Maybe they're just going to try and get at it anyway. This while U.S. oil reserves near tank bottom. And why not throw in selling the Turks F-35s? Well, about it. That's a whole other issue. Let's see what the morons have to, by way of pretzel logic today. Comments are open. I'm being a little zesty today. I'm using the word moron, but there are some morons who swear and curse at me and call me names and treat me far worse than I treat them. Moron is a very mild term for the kinds of stupidity that they promote every single day. But let's deal with the Turks and the F-35s, because no one's been a better friend to Israel than Donald Trump. The Turks have been very clear. They think the Israelis are akin to Germany in the 1930s. They've said as much. They openly say things like they're ethnically cleansing the Lebanese and they're ethnically cleansing Gaza. The Israelis, for their part, say that Turkey's their next target after Iran, that they may have to fight a war with Turkey. One of the prominent Israeli ministers said today that they're considering military options with Turkey. Good luck. You'll have to use nukes in that case. Good luck. I've always said that the Turks are the soft underbelly of NATO. They play all sides of the fence. I mean, they're, you know, you look at a map, you know, Turkey's right in the middle of the world. Kind of makes sense. They play their role. This is the former Ottoman Empire. A lot of these places, whether it's Persia, Iran, Turkey, they've been asleep for the last 100, 120 years. They've been changing, but these are the empires of old. They're not done. They're civilizational. And Erdogan is very, very keen to rebuild Turkish might in the world. So he plays all sides. They buy Russian missile defenses, and now they're going to have F-35s. The criticism that I have is, if Trump is moving away from Israel, this is one way to do it, by further arming the Turks. But it's contradictory. There's so many contradictory policies. Trump says he wants to end the war. I don't even know if I talked about it. I think it's in the next tweet. Let's just go there. He says he wants to end the war in Ukraine. And here's the tweet. And now Donald J. Bush okays Patriot missile production in Ukraine. Another red line the Russians have crossed by the Americans who are supposedly wanting to end the conflict. And praised the deep strikes into Russia. All while repeating the myth that these attacks are turning the tide, because he says the Ukrainians are turning the tide and this is all going to help end the war. Escalation to de-escalate. Orwellian nonsense. Far from ending the war, this is just going to make the Russians hit harder and harder and harder, and it's going to cause them, once again, I mean, Lavrov came out a week or two ago, and he said the spirit of Alaska was dead. Now, I know Trump and Putin are having phone calls and having conversations, but actions speak louder than words. I have a framed picture in my house, and it says, "Who you are and what you do speaks more loudly than what you say." I pretty much read that every single day. And it's true in politics as well. The Russians are very realistic people. And their assessments of the world and their patience is based on realism. I just don't know how much more rope they've got. How long can they possibly go before they strike Europe? Before they strike weapons manufacturing capacity in Europe, which is now arming Ukrainians and killing Russians. It's not about taking sides. It's about what is. The break with NATO and Davos is fake. This is where I kind of crash out a little bit here. I mean it, but maybe I could have chosen my words differently. The break with NATO and Davos is fake. The administration is fake. It's not America first, and maybe it never was. I actually don't believe it never was. Maybe I'm foolish, but I tend to believe that something changed between last June and now and Donald Trump. And it's a neocon administration. And you can speculate all day. There's people who will tell you they know. I don't know. But I can tell you that something has changed. And whether it's the mask coming off, or it's just an acceptance of the dominance of the Israeli lobby or the neocon lobby, I don't know. I'm not a sage. I don't know. Something's different. Well, what's left of the sycophantic MAGA cult twist themselves into pretzels on these issues because most of the good people in MAGA have left because they see it. Twist themselves in pretzels on these issues, Epstein and so much else, because, I mean, almost lost in all of this is the fact that the Epstein cover-up continues. It's fallen off the radar. It's pretty bloody important. They gaslit us. They ran an election campaign saying we were going to get to the bottom of this, and then they covered it up, and they're still covering it up today. And there aren't too many reasons why they would do that. Again, you can guess. I can't say for sure. There's a lot of people out there who will talk from a position of certainty. I'm not certain, but none of the options are good. None of the options are good. Just like with all the dead children I was talking about, all the children who have been abused, the only thing that serves them is justice. And if you're in the way of justice, you're just not on the side of the good. You're not doing right. And there's no compromise for that. There's no justification for not arresting people. No one's been arrested. There's no justification. There's no moral justification for a lack of action. I don't care what the situation is. Carney signals opposition to America, all while implementing policies that align us ever more with the United States, Davos, and Palantir-inspired TIA. You know, people are just like, oh, you know, they're getting away from the WEF and Davos and their digital ID. The only difference between what the Americans are doing on digital ID and privacy and what the Europeans want is that it's the American elites and aristocracy that are going to go with total information awareness and know everything about you. They're going to have cameras in your cars watching you. And if you look away from the road, they're going to shut you down. That's the future of automobiles. It's the same thing with your smartphones. They're going to be listening all the time. They've already got FISA warrantless tapping. They got all of these powers, and the Trump administration has not done anything about it. The only difference is Palantir is homegrown. And Thiel running away to Argentina is a whole separate issue, which we don't have time to get into today. It's all so fake and transparent, and yet people will buy fictions over the truth. We've all been betrayed, left, right, and center. When I say left, right, and center, I mean the people who backed Carney for elbows up, they've been betrayed as well. I don't have to agree with them to see that they've been betrayed. Most of them don't even know. Most of them are ignoramuses. Just like on the right, we have our own ignoramuses. People who make excuses for the terrible leadership of the Conservative Party of Canada. People who make excuses every which way. One day, they all they do is repeat whatever Donald Trump says, even if it destroys all their credibility in the eyes of people who actually can see and are fact-based. But I think we're in the minority. I don't think people care about objective reality anymore. I don't even think people want to find it. Everything's a sports team. Everything's cheerleading. That's the intellectual capacity of the masses. It's wild. We've all been betrayed, left, right, and center. This is another one that happened today. I couldn't even believe this. So Trump decides to rescind Syria, state sponsor of terrorism, Syria's. See, again, writing from my phone. I should never do that. Trump decides to rescind Syria's state sponsor of terrorism designation, U.S. official to Reuters. Jolani, I refuse to call him al-Shara, is actual al-Qaeda in a suit. The reason I refuse to call him al-Shara is it's his nom de guerre. And where, what war? What war, in what war did he get the name al-Shara from? Well, as part of al-Qaeda. As part of the caliphate. Killing American soldiers. So, Trump, the American administration, they throw him in a suit, put a Philip Patek watch on his wrist, invite him to the White House and clean him up. And everybody, the media, even your online influencers, they start calling him al-Shara. I refuse. The man got his name killing American troops. And now his terrorism designation has been lifted. I don't know what possible good that can lead to. I don't know what possible gain the Americans can have. It just takes me back to the F-35 thing in Turkey. I don't know what possible good comes out of arming Turkey. For NATO or for Israel or for anybody else. I don't understand how it serves. I think Donald Trump's foreign policy is one of the biggest disasters in American history to this point in the second term. It's just terrible. Jolani is actual al-Qaeda in a suit. He's slaughtering Christians with abandon. I mean, he's killing thousands of them. Where's the evangelists? Where's the Christian Zionists? Does anybody give a damn about the slaughter of Syria's Christians? I mean, everybody wants to talk about, oh, we can't let the Iranians have a nuke because those crazy Islamists will have a nuke. Guys, we gave the Islamists a state in Syria. The Pakistanis. I wonder what faith the people of Pakistan follow. Don't we talk about gangs who violate people in Britain? And aren't they from a certain place? And I think that country has nuclear weapons. People are so moronic. They can't string together a fact tree. They can't string together a chain of logic. And moron is the strongest word I use to describe them. They deserve more. Jelani is slaughtering Christians with abandon. But he's not a state sponsor of terrorism. Trump sucks. This is the tweet. He's betrayed everyone, even Israel, whom he best served by arming Turkey. Next tweet. This will be the last one. Make no mistake, Vance is Palantir made. There to steer what's left of MAGA should it somehow survive Trump. We're getting set up for a battle between Vance and Rubio over the Republican Party. It's not really a battle. It's a stage-managed thing. We're going to try and package Vance as the force behind Trump that was against his moves in Iran. And he had to support his president, right? This is the message they're going to give us. I make that prediction in the future. And that way, if somehow MAGA is strong enough, they've got someone there that can capture it. And if he somehow wins the next presidential election, well, it's stage managed and controlled, just like things are right now. And if that doesn't work, well, they'll go with Rubio. They'll get what they want either way. And even if Vance and Rubio, whoever it is, go on to lose to whatever the hell the Democrats call together, someone said today, I'm not going to find it because this video is already getting long. Oh, maybe I will. Let me finish this. So I'm quoting Vance here. If Iran tries to close the strait down, there's going to be a response for the American military. There's already a response. That's the deal, he said. It's not the deal. It's not what Vance signed. Once again, the Americans' word is shit. The basic deal that we cut was, we'll lift the blockade if you stop shooting at ships. But if you shoot at ships, we're going to punch you back. I've read the MOU. That's not the deal at all. But again, the lemmings in the public will just lap this up. They can either follow it, or they can have exactly what happened last night. It's just going to keep on happening until they open up that lane and stop shooting at ships. Well, there is a lane open. You just have to go through the Iranian process, like you agreed to do in the MOU. You people keep trying to bypass it by going through the Omani Straits. You're duplicitous liars. And everybody can see it. I shouldn't say that. Not everybody can see it, because most people are willfully blind. And so I said, we can read. We know what he signed. And we know Israel and America have been violating it almost since the ink was dry. He thinks America is stupid. And to be fair, millions are. And again, no one wants to touch that tweet. People don't even want to argue with me anymore. The people who used to argue all the time, they know I'm right. They don't want to admit it. And a lot of people just want to hide from the truth. But the truth is what the truth is. And the last thing I want to talk about is this. Now, I'm not trying to pick on you, Flat Top. If you're watching my videos, you've been around a long time, buddy. I'm not trying to pick on you, but you hit something here that I have to address. Just saying, Frank, it's a two-party, uniparty, really, option as it stands. Hold your nose and vote for the lesser of two evils. At least Trump made an effort to tighten up the border and boot out illegals. I can give him a pass on that, and that alone, pretty much. Imagine what the state of the U.S. would be with heels up Harris as president. And I said he gave up on those fronts, mate, without finishing the job. He's largely given up on the aggressive stance. There's people being kicked out of the administration that are going on podcasts and saying that Trump is no longer interested in completely kicking out the illegals. He just wants the SAVE Act done. He doesn't even talk about the wall anymore and the importance of border security and finishing that job. Largely because he's distracted with his bullshit foreign policy, pardon my French again. According to the core MAGA people who came into office with him and are now being turfed, he's not even interested in the wall. I don't believe anything would be better, just different. And that's true. I think it would be different. It'd be a different kind of hell, but I think the foreign policy would be very similar. But again, Flat Top says Trump may be disappointing on many fronts. I agree, but what is the alternative? The Democrats are worse. Much, much worse. And I said, that's where we're at now? Better unnecessary global chaos in World War III than those damn Dems? It's a very impoverished argument at this point, my friend, because I do personally very much like Flat Top. I think he's a good guy, but I don't subscribe to the argument of it would be worse with the other guys. That's not the bar MAGA set. That's not the bar Trump set when he stepped onto that stage in 2016. When he talked about Bush falling off, and when he destroyed the coronation of Jeb Bush, which I believe was organic. I believe Trump meant well. I believe he meant what he said. For a long time, I believe it. He's either incapable, he's lost his way, or he's given up. He's made a lot of money in his second term, which he didn't make in his first term, which I found that to be noble. When he didn't make the money in the first term, he actually sacrificed. I'm like, man, that is something. That's different. He went before the world and he pointed the finger at the Saudis and he pointed the finger at the Bushes as being responsible, far more responsible for 9/11 than Saddam Hussein. And he was right. And he was right that trillions of dollars and tens of thousands of lives were lost in Iraq. Millions died in Iraq. But we don't care about Iraqi lives, right? We don't care how many children we kill as long as they're not Americans. Really pathetic, immoral position to hold. And he rightly said those things. And it was amazing to see. I don't know how anybody, beholding the same set of facts and situation that I am now, could come to any other conclusion that for whatever reason, Trump's lost. He's lost. I hope he comes back before it's too late. Because war, more war, more bombs, it's not going to solve Iran. The regime is unshakable. They can't be taken out. If the Americans are stupid enough to bomb their oil infrastructure and really try to take Karg Island, the Iranians can pretty much end Middle Eastern energy and they can end the Gulf states with conventional weapons. Iran's a very decentralized place. Israel's very concentrated. Tehran is very concentrated. Kuwait is very concentrated. If they decide to, they can unleash global economic hell, which will only further exacerbate the impending defeat of the Republican Party in November. Irrespective of how crazy you think the Democrats are, that's not what November is about. Midterms are not about direction. They're about a judgment call on the direction of the president previously elected. The Democrats don't have to be perfect to occupy that space. At either rate, as I sit here on Wednesday, July 8th, 2026, I feel the situation is much worse. And as always, I hope I am so wrong. I hope I can make a video going, I was so wrong. Donald Trump's a genius. But we all know I'm not going to be able to make that video. I'm Frank Vaughn, and I'll see you again at some point because, like I said, the next couple weeks is going to be dodgy. I will try to check in because things are moving in a pretty important direction right now, and I guess we'll see how the rest of today goes. Take care. I'll see you in the comment section. I always read the comments and try to respond to as many of you as I can. God bless, and if you don't believe in God, take my blessings.